I think what's cool about this is that I don't think a lot of fans understand the amount of communication and execution that goes into the game of basketball, at least on our team. You know, Phil and his coaching staff preach that to us. It's about execution. Yeah, you have to emotionally be invested in the game. You have to play hard and all that other stuff, play with a lot of energy. But you got to execute. And I think that's what's great about our team and, you know, having smart players on our team, is that we talk about execution all the time. You can't stress that enough.
Welcome back to Sports Bars, ladies and gentlemen. Today is an episode that needed doing, and we are here today to tribute the man that transcended basketball and that we're all recounting his life and the great memories and what it means when you simply hear the name Kobe. The first name, the nickname, the mentality, the mantra, the dedication, everything. That's what this episode's dedicated towards today. And to help me do that, we have a icon in the Portland sports radio scene, Mr. Greg Robinson, here to help me out and look back on Kobe's time in the NBA and what he really meant to the league, and around the time in which Greg Robinson was covering, Kobe started his rise. And around when you began, how long were you within the sports radio scene on the radio in Portland?
Well, I began in 91 mm-hmm. and worked until 2002.
Mm-hmm.
And my duties at that time were not only hosting a program, but also I then elevated to exclusively covering the home games for mm-hmm. Portland. And what that did for me personally, it wasn't just doing my quote-unquote job, it was also getting to know these men as individuals
mm-hmm.
and maybe learning a little bit of slice of life that the media in general didn't necessarily see, especially the general public,
right?
Didn't see portions of the individuals, that not only players that came through here on other clubs, but just the players that came to wear
mm-hmm.
Portland Blazers jerseys, and a little side of them that didn't exist. And keep in mind, we're also talking about an era where the Blazers were not the most liked or had the most reputable reputation. You go back in that era of the quote-unquote jailblazers, and they had to overcome that.
Mm-hmm.
I also look, though, at Kobe Bryant's emergence during that period, and I did have the opportunity to interview him mm-hmm. on, I think, 3 occasions.
Oh, more than once.
Yeah, yeah. Actually interviewing him post-game every time they played Portland.
Uh-huh.
But I was in a crowd of media and maybe could get 2 questions asked while we sat around and fired things at him. And I came away believing, this is an individual that knows how to play the media.
Mm-hmm.
And then with his success and his star power, he was also one of the most requested guys on the team.
Oh, of course.
To talk to him.
Yeah, he came out, you know, straight out of high school.
And, yeah.
He was, a lot of people say he was held back by Del Harris during those mm-hmm. times before the Phil influence.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the memories that I have, and I remember we were both watching this too, it was in 2000. It was that 15-point fourth quarter comeback.
Oh, yeah.
And everyone remembers, I remember we were in a room, and it was when Kobe threw that lob to Shaq to seal that comeback, to knock us again
mm-hmm.
out of the, you know, not going to the finals, Portland falling short in the postseason, which is pretty much all I've seen in my lifetime, you know. And it was the first time in which Kobe Bryant on the basketball court would rip my Rip City heart straight out of my chest.
Oh, I was going to say, he took over and demonstrated at least whatever that talent that was being held back came to the forefront during mm-hmm. that time.
Well, Phil brought that out of him a lot, mm-hmm. and you got to also talk with Phil and talk with Kobe and talk with Shaq. And were there any examples you had on how he knew how to work the media, or what he would say or do? Or
yeah, but in deference to his memory,
mm-hmm.
I will just say yes, because let's face it, a conversation in front of a bunch of microphones wasn't the same as in a locker room after a win or after a loss.
Absolutely.
Where tongues are a lot looser.
Mm-hmm.
And I just personally would never, you know, get on the air and say, oh, you know, unless you had some big skirmish break out in the locker room while right. it's there for everybody to see mm-hmm. on television, it's making SportsCenter or whatever your local media was that night. Mm-hmm. But then again, when you listen to the two things, like I said, I would learn a lot about the personalities mm-hmm. of these individuals. And like I said, Kobe Bryant, at least for me, on the occasions I got to speak with mm-hmm. him, gracious gentleman, mm-hmm. would stick around and just kind of give you, since it was radio, give you a thumbs up when he wanted you to wrap stuff up because he had to go, but he mm-hmm. gave you so much time, you were grateful for it anyway.
Right. He was one of those guys, a lot of people always said that. We see this now, I guess. We see now with after his death across many different panels of sports where his life and his memory and what he meant to not just basketball, but to like perfecting yourself mm-hmm. and getting better and improving. And I mean, we see it now. I remember when we were playing, in football reference right here, when we were playing against the Saints, the Raiders fans being us, our team, we were playing mm-hmm. against the Saints, and Derek Carr threw the game winning touchdown to Mike Crabtree.
Right.
They interviewed Derek Carr and he said, well, what were you thinking? And he said, just two things, Mamba mentality. Mm-hmm. And it's crazy to think now that you already know what that means in reference to who he was as a man. And did you notice him, though, like after he left the game and retired, that he didn't just kind of fade to black? I mean, how many stars did you see do that in your era that just were famous and then they retired and just kind of hung to the background and played golf?
Well, that's kind of what it was. I mean, you had your exceptions like a Barkley that you would see every night on the air. Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, you know, even Jordan, after his retirement, got more involved in his businesses than the game itself. Mm-hmm. You know, he'd show up when they built the statue of him mm-hmm. Outside the arena, that kind of thing. Or, you know, he was involved in just a whole bunch of other things. Mm-hmm. Kobe, meanwhile, has still, I think, a great legacy to associate his name with his legend and the NBA.
Absolutely, yeah.
And I think the point that you just made gives that a lot of validity insofar as look at the sports that transcended the grief that came out. Mm-hmm. It wasn't just NBA players.
No, I mean, the best part of the Pro Bowl, I mean, we all know how unhighlighting that is, but the best part, and I'm glad when I caught it from my annual 20 seconds of Pro Bowl watching, I saw Za'Darius Smith make the sack. Yeah. He made a sack, you know, and they didn't take him all the way down, but he made the sack. And the whole entire defensive line that was out there is a couple guys, Danielle Hunter mm-hmm. from the Vikings. They were all out there, and immediately when they heard this, they all gathered in a circle, did the jab step, pull away, fade away. And Neymar Jr. in soccer, as we all know, Miles, or, uh-huh. you know, would mention too, he held the two and the four. I believe it was after a goal. I'm not sure, but he held the two and the four and just looked to the clouds. He was running down the field.
Yeah.
And even, I noticed at work, people who are avid dislikers of sports, hey, did you see what happened to Kobe Bryant? Right. Did you hear about this? It's sad in just all avenues, and it's tough to even try to think of the right thing to say. And in a lot of ways, there is nothing to say because we all deal with death differently. But to celebrate the life that was is, I think, what is the only thing you can do, at least from my
perspective. And I also think when it happens to such a star athlete, it kind of magnifies his or her persona mm-hmm. in a lot of ways yeah. in terms of how the reflection of thinking about that individual is perceived. But also, like you just said, I mean, it wasn't just NBA, even current players right. in the NBA. We're talking about all sports and players that were like 20 years younger than
yeah.
him.
Yeah.
They grew up watching him. Mm-hmm. And that's the kind of thing that I think will also live forever. in that regard. I was talking to a friend today about, and she was saying to me about, you know, how sad it was and everything, and how, because I even think former President Obama and also current President Trump did tweets of, you know, sorrow in his name. But the one thing that also came out in Obama's, he said, it touches us doubly so, speaking of his wife Michelle and himself, that his child was also involved.
Yeah, Gianna, Gigi, his oldest, at 13 years
13
old.
13 years old.
And there was other, there was a soccer coach,
right?
His wife and daughters on there. I mean, the pilot himself. It's a huge tragedy, and everyone felt it.
It is. But as I said to my friend, unfortunately, it has happened before, and unfortunately, again, it's going to happen again.
I know.
And the reference that I made was back in 1970. I was a student at the University of Montana and remembered reading about the plane crash, Marshall. You know, they even made a film. Mm-hmm.
We Are Marshall. I own it. I watched that movie without like reading of the story.
Oh.
So when I saw that movie, I was like, wait, this happened?
Mm-hmm.
And then went back after seeing the movie. And yeah, it does. There is a way that when we still have games and sports and traditions that we come together and celebrate, that you can then use that to then also honor a person in this situation.
Absolutely.
Like we have seen with the 24 second shot clock violations and the 8 second backcourts to honor his two numbers. I mean, it was even LeBron just passed him up in total points, all time points, right? And
he was,
of course, you know, Kobe loves to see that. And LeBron wrote then Mamba forever, 24 forever, on his shoe. And then the Lakers, now as we record this, now know that the Lakers and the Clippers set to play tomorrow night aren't going to, simply because they just can't bring themselves there to do it. It'd be too much for so many people in that arena to handle.
It would.
And it's sad, but there's a lot of things that we can learn from Kobe, I think, as individuals, even if you're an athlete. I mean, I've spent the last couple of days going back to the gym to start playing ball again, simply because, well, I can. I can't play very well anymore. I'm older than I used to be when I was good. But
which is why I don't go out there and play with you as much either.
Yeah, I know.
I'm old.
Yes.
Though you remind me of that more often.
Yes.
But yeah, I totally get it. I really do. And it's like you were saying, how different people respond to death.
Mm-hmm.
There are things that individuals will do to pay homage to his name and his legend. One of the things also, though, that it, and you can't put it in a perspective now, but I think you will as time goes on, is the legacy and the business savvy that he had.
Yes.
I mean, yes, it's tragic for his wife. It's tragic for his other children because they lost a sibling.
Mm-hmm.
She loses a husband and their firstborn.
Mm-hmm.
But the empire, business-wise, that he created.
Yeah.
I mean, again, that's going to be huge.
There was even, like, he wrote that poem after he retired called Dear Basketball. Like, the things that I remember of him, even, like, post-basketball, like, post him playing. He wrote that Dear Basketball poem, which he won I don't know what the writing awards are. This is bad for me to bring it up and not know the specific award, but he won an award, a very well respected, prestigious award for it. And he was like, I'm a basketball player. I've won MVP. I've won an MVP. I've won finals MVP, and I've won rings. And yet here I am with this. And he was still excited. It was often said that he was like a closet intellectual at times. He was always curious as to what someone was reading, coaches of his specifically, mostly Phil. And Phil would have different books that he thought matched up with players. But Kobe was the only player who would pick Phil's brain. Okay, you're reading this book? What do you think of it? Mm-hmm. Why are you reading it?
Mm-hmm.
Was the question that Phil said that Kobe would ask. He took that intellectual mind, combined it with this almost sickness of trying to compete and get better. The stories of him when he was in, I think it was a playoff series in Denver. He had a poor shooting night in the postseason. The plane gets back to L.A. And as soon as the plane gets back to L.A., he goes to the gym and continues to work on jump shots. You're Kobe Bryant. You've shot millions of jumpers. As he's shooting in the gym when he's training. You've shot millions of jumpers. And at 4 in the morning, you're going and shooting for hours and hours more. Again, like learning different languages with his different teammates from overseas,
right,
to get a competitive advantage. Just any other way to not tip off his opponent when speaking to Vujicic or Powell. I mean, these numerous things that Kobe did, his cerebral intelligence, it was always on display, and just his ability as an ultimate closer. He ripped my heart out on the floor many times, as I said, and many other Blazer fans despised him for it. The arrogance that came with it, the swagger that was attached to it, and there was a point, I think, in 2000 and when was it? It was 2009, I think it was, where I just had to let go of my bias and acknowledge how amazing he is. Yeah. And it only elevated from then on and just increased and grew. So, very
amazing.
You know,
you reminded me, too, of on an occasion where I did get to interview him. I would always introduce myself and who I was with.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, a lot of times that just kind of goes in guys' ears and out the other. They talk to so many media people in the course of a season. But what I was most flattered by was after one of the interviews, he said, "Thank you very much," and "goodbye," and pronounced my name all in Italian. And I looked at him like... Well, I understood my name. That was it. But you're right. I mean, he was always some. But the thing is, I also have like so many memories swirling, and I'm not going to get off the Kobe track, but I just want to draw the connection.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I covered a Blazer Laker game when Shaq finished his work to get his degree from LSU.
Oh, okay.
I was in the press room and he was busy on his laptop and he was reciting stuff and some guy, you know, PR person or somebody with the Lakers is busy typing stuff in. A lady sitting next to them holding up a microphone, I'm sure recording it so that they could proof it.
Right.
When they got back to LA. And then he had this big grin on his face, and I walked out and I said, "Is it all done?" "It's done, man." And I go, "Congratulations." And he says, "All I gotta say is thank God for the internet." But your recall of Kobe and being bilingual and stuff was what triggered that memory, and I just thought that was hilarious. Mm-hmm. But I think the greats do that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure if we went back, especially in this era where you're looking at from the time when players could come out of high school, because when I was immediately growing up, we still had the draft. You still could not even declare until your class approached their junior year.
Okay.
And that was how it was set up. And then I look at him as somebody to kind of help break that ceiling.
Yeah.
And look, it's commonplace now.
Mm-hmm.
You've got high schoolers that demonstrate the talent. I remember Kevin Garnett, same way. And I think, again, that's something that in a quiet way, it was one of those glass ceilings that he helped break.
Sure was. Yeah, it was crazy to hear it. It was almost like I didn't believe it at first yesterday when I had seen it. And I was texting my friend, you remember James Welch?
Mm-hmm.
He had texted me on Friday night. We were out for my friend Brian's birthday party. And James texts me and we start texting back and forth. He's asking me about how Kobe emulated from Jordan so specifically and how Bron took parts of Kobe's game, but maybe not the mirror image almost of like so many things that Jordan did. But parts from Kobe, parts from Jordan. And we all know where they're different. You know, that's neither here nor there for this show. But we got on that topic and talking about Kobe and talking about MJ. And to then now see that after talking about that and just simply recalling all those, well, no, he did this, he did that. And then to hear the news then on Sunday as the next text of on a Saturday night when we kept it, it went on to the next day. Then the last text was something about, could you place the same person on guarding, you had to pick one person to defend all three of them. That was around their era, who would it be? And it wasn't answered. It was late. I was like, gee, I need to sit and think of this. The next morning, I got a text from other people. Kobe Bryant died.
Yeah.
It was just like, wait, what? This, what? This isn't, what? And it, ESPN didn't catch it. TMZ released it even before the family heard about
it. They were the first media outlet to report it. And I think a lot of it, though, was because of proximity.
Mm-hmm. Well, TMZ wants to be in the front of it. TMZ wants to be, we are your source. They want to be, I mean, we all know what they want to be. But it's, even I heard Tiger, when he was asked about it, Tiger Woods,
he didn't know until much later.
Yeah, his caddy or someone like that told him. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just when these things happen and you take time to collect your thoughts, you almost, at least for me personally, apart from recounting the great times and the memories and how they would want you to live life through the way they did,
sure,
there is no other way to collect your thoughts. You just find out that it's just tough to say.
It was such a reoccurring theme even at the Grammys last night,
mm-hmm.
because Alicia Keys is constantly making the reference to the house that Kobe built,
right,
etc. And I'm so glad that the league at least took it upon themselves that they would, in fact, postpone tomorrow's game.
Right.
That they showed they have a heart. It's not just lip service
mm-hmm.
coming from them.
Mm-hmm.
And face it, they do have contingencies and plans with the scheduling if some kind of traumatic situation happens.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it could have just as well been Katrina hitting New Orleans when the Pelicans are around and mm-hmm. messing up that arena, and what do you do? I mean, that kind of thing is still
mm-hmm.
in their plans. But to then just take this as a gesture
mm-hmm.
to say, not only the fans of the Lakers, but the fans of sport
mm-hmm.
need to grieve a little bit and need to heal a little bit. And
absolutely.
I thought this was a good gesture.
I did too. One final question as we wrap up. Kobe is on a playground right now somewhere in heaven. Who's he playing one-on-one against?
Oh, my.
I'm going to tell you this. You might disagree right now. He's giving Wilt a business right now.
Actually, I was going to say, well, because he's not there yet, but after a while, unfortunately, he'll have his pick. He'll be, you know, given the business to Karl Malone. He'll be given the business to Bird.
Mm-hmm.
And he and Chuck Pearson will be up and down the floor yelling insults and talking trash to each other
mm-hmm.
the whole way down. It's just, like I said, what will really be interesting is to keep this in your archives
mm-hmm.
and on the 1 year anniversary, come back to it and ask yourself, have your reflections changed? Or are other things in developing your memory of this great athlete all of a sudden changed in rank of importance?
Mm-hmm.
And I think you'll find it does.
It does. Okay. We'll have to go back and look at it and see.
I remember asking myself that very question when Magic came out with the announcement he was HIV and had to quit the league and the fervor that created. And how I approached it on my program that night.
Mm-hmm.
And I went back and I had a couple of sound bites from segments. And it changed. And face it, he proved us all wrong.
Mm-hmm.
He's alive and well and kicking.
Mm-hmm.
And something like this tragedy to an individual he's very close to had to really strike a chord.
Yeah, and Magic said Kobe Bryant is the best Laker. This was before he passed, too.
Mm-hmm.
Really interesting to think about.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this has been the Kobe tribute episode here on Sports Bars featuring Greg Robinson. Thanks so much for coming on, Dad.
It was really great. Appreciate
it, son. Absolutely.
Back in the saddle.
Absolutely, yeah. We will both be back for a Super Bowl preview episode later on this week. Going to have a lot to break down with that. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Rest in peace, Kobe Bryant. And within anything you do from here on out, Mamba mentality.